Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have a variety of authentic ahadith, and just like verses of the Quran, sometimes we find apparent contradictions between these. Now, instead of being quick in judging and discarding what doesn't sit well with us, we need to first study both sides and see if there is a real contradiction or whether they can be reconciled. In session 10, we established from the Quran and very many ahadith that the Ahlul Bayt had a lofty station with Allah, which came along with a special position in the world of creation, access to special divine knowledge, and so on. And yet, we find that in certain occasions, the Imams appear to have denied these attributes from themselves. So what's going on? The most prominent trait we find that the Imams appear to have negated from themselves is that special divine knowledge. When looking at those ahadith, the first impression we get is that the Imam is suggesting that his knowledge of religion, to say the least, is acquired through normal means, just like any other pious Islamic scholar. But with a bit more pondering and bringing other verses and ahadith in the picture, we come to realize that the Imams did actually indicate many times to the fact that they possess a special type of knowledge and a special role in creation. But they would teach this reality very carefully, such as to avoid people labeling them as gods or prophets. The tendency, especially in those days, was to quickly consider a person divine or claim prophethood for them. And this meant that the Imams had to be careful in how they portrayed their real station, and would do so using terms that conveyed the concept whilst not provoking any misunderstanding. We also find that the Imams were more open about their reality when talking to their close companions, who knew well enough not to consider them as God or prophets. And this again shows how the Imams did tarbiyah of people by speaking according to the level of understanding of their audience. The Imam's reality was often showing itself in his actions and teachings anyways. But to prevent a widespread of ghulu, the Imams had to sometimes be very precise in how they term things, considering the times they live in and who they are speaking to. For example, ilmul ghayb is a term used by Allah for himself. And yet, he does say that he gives knowledge of the ghayb to some people, such as in the verse, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكِ. This tells us that the idea of a human being possessing knowledge of the ghayb through Allah is a true notion. Now, since the term ilmul ghayb is used more often for Allah, terms like ilmul ladunni or ilmul kitab have instead been used for prophets and imams. Both these terms refer to the same special knowledge of the ghayb which Allah provides to his special servants, as he says so in this verse and in many other verses. So, when we sit today with books of ahadith and the Quran, we should be careful not to pick from one side or the other, either falling into ghulu or into taqsir. The Imams taught us that the truth is far from this false dichotomy and that there is a middle ground in place. The human being has a very lofty potential and is able to reach a station with Allah that comes along with special knowledge and great abilities provided by Him. And the awliya of Allah, at their peak, the prophets and Imams, have attained these lofty stations. They are not at par with God, the independent being, but they are His absolutely submissive servants who manifest His attributes. This was just a recap. A lot more detail has been given in session 12, so don't miss out.